some wake you up music. Ben playing. Ben is keeping me awake tonight. I'm Hannah Stanley, filling in tonight for Matt Bubala here on WGN Radio. I got the band back together.
Look at this.
I know. Roger Badish doing news all night.
Mm-hmm.
When did you say the snow is hitting?
You said now.
It. Okay. No, I don't see it, sir.
It will be. I will check the interactive WGN TV weather radar map.
You know what's interesting? You've met my Grayson, my son, yes. My son Grayson, mm-hmm. who is 10, almost 11. I got a text from him as I was driving down here. I was being safe. I was not reading the text. I was stuck in traffic.
You waited to, okay.
Yes, but the text said, Mom, I need you to be alert for ice on your way home.
There you go. He's right.
I was like, okay, Mr. Grayson Skilling.
Oh, you
it's
didn't
good
know?
Advice, though.
You didn't know that he was adopted.
Well, you know what? Well, you know I call Tom Uncle Tommy.
Yes, I know. Yes. Well, you've known him so long.
A long time. Yeah. And he really is just the greatest man ever. Yeah. Ever.
But I'm looking at the map.
Yes,
and
sir.
So from just north of Wilmette, it is showing that there is precipitation, frozen precipitation, all the way from just north of Wilmette, all the way south to just north of Moments, all the way into Indiana, and west all the way into, I'd say Dixon, Sterling.
All right, so is that that line?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the actual coverage map. That's showing where precipitation is being reported.
Currently.
Currently. There's also precipitation, frozen precipitation reported up Waukegan and Zion, going straight west, covering Freeport, Galena, all the way into Wisconsin.
All right. And then is it going to move in the typical weather pattern?
Yeah, eastward-ish.
Because yesterday it was all wackadoo. It was all spinning in from Indiana.
Yeah.
Nobody understands that around here.
No, this one is moving eastish.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yes, eastish. I know. South, east, southeast. I totally get when weather comes in from Michigan and Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Things are amiss in my world.
Michigan, I don't mind. When it comes from Indiana, we have a problem.
Well, when it spins backwards.
I'm like, no, it goes southward and then westward and then up northward.
No, that's Chicago. Like Australia weather. That's not how that's supposed to happen here.
Well, it has happened here ad nauseum number of decades and millennia.
Oh, my goodness
gracious.
If
that is anything.
Hey, I just got a text, which reminds me to share with everybody that the text and call line is 981-7200. Ben is taking your calls, and then I am also reading your text, as is he. But Truck and Phil, hi, Truck and Phil. Semper Fi to you as well. And by the way, happy Marine birthday, which just happened a few days ago.
That's right.
That was on the 10th.
Wasn't it the day before?
Yeah. It's November 10th. But he said Thanksgiving's on the way and only 15 days until Hanukkah. Did you know this, Roger Badish?
December 5th.
Phew.
It's early this year.
But I had a question.
I'm shining up my, waxing them up, the dreidels.
You made them out of clay.
Of course.
And when they're dry and ready.
Well, they're already dried and they're already ready. I use loaded dreidels.
Oh, so
that when I spin, I get the money. Mm-hmm. I get all the gelt.
Right.
And then I kind of, palm it.
Do you have guilt about the gelt?
No, I have no guilt.
You have no gelt guilt?
None whatsoever. I went through therapy for that.
So I had a question.
Yeah.
And earlier in my mind, and I thought to myself, you know who would be the person to ask? It would be Truck and Phil.
Yeah.
And so at some point, well, I can put it out there. And Phil, when you are able to, text me the answer, please. Have you noticed that there's so many of these lights on oncoming cars that are...
Super bright?
Super bright. And it's not their high beams.
It sure looks like it to me.
The new LED stuff.
Yes.
They're too bright.
They're blue as if we're in like a hospital in the 50s. Weirdness. Like it's a very strange piercing blue.
Well, I'm making the complaint and I'm glad you brought it up. But when I'm driving lately, like the last couple of weeks, especially when it's getting darker earlier, because I'm I'm still out driving most of the time. And it's not SUVs. It's regular cars
yes.
that seem to have their brights on behind me. And I have to keep flipping my rearview mirror to cut down on the glare.
Right.
It's even worse with the SUVs that have those multiple lights. Like, they've got a pair up high, the regular their regular lights, and then another, like a running board, bright lights on the bottom on their bumper. And they're all four bright.
Right.
And it's blinding behind me. I can't stand it.
And so I wanted to ask Phil, who's out on our roads all the time, if this is like a new thing that we're going to be seeing more of. And Truckin' Phil is a trucker. He's a driver.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that's why I thought he would be an expert on this.
Make sure that you pull over, Phil.
Yes,
so you're not driving.
He's
don't
very
want
safe.
You. Yeah, I know you're very careful. That would be interesting to know.
All right. We are going to go to a quick break because did you hear this story? You probably reported on it about the elevator.
Oh, yeah, well, I haven't reported on it yet, but I do know about it. Yeah, over at the Hancock Center.
This is a scary, scary
Very
story.
Very scary. Did you see the picture?
Okay, we're going to talk about that in seconds.
Okay.
It makes me very nervous. So we're going to talk about that next. Hannah Stanley. Oh, we are going to be talking about this elevator story. But first, as an aside, I mentioned these crazy lights that I'm seeing in oncoming traffic. And we have a caller on the line. You're on WGN.
Oh, hello. I'm a rideshare driver.
Yes.
And I've noticed that the bright lights are really much more brighter than they used to be. Anyhow, I contacted the state police, and I got a phone call from a state policeman after an email I sent, and they told me that the lights are getting brighter. They're called high-intensity discharge lights, and they were just putting them on high-end cars, but now they're going on like mid-priced and lower-priced cars and SUVs, too. So it's a fact they're getting brighter.
Okay, did they explain the purpose of them? Does it give broader visibility? Does it give further visibility? Or is it just to annoy oncoming traffic?
No, they didn't give any reason for it. I guess it just makes people feel safer. But I asked about a reason, and the policeman couldn't give me any reason and just said, no, they are getting brighter. We're not imagining it.
No, it's not necessarily the brightness, although that is a little piercing, but it's the tone of the color that's really challenging. You know, you almost feel like you need your sunglasses on, but they're so really interesting because you can tell that it's not the high beams. And we have a texter that texted into 312-981-7200 that said when the lower lights are on, the lights are not on high. When the high beams flick on, the lower lights automatically shut off. So if you can see the lower lights on, those are not the high beams. So don't.
Right. The high beams are not on. And really, I find them blinding and my eyes are bloodshot after a couple hours driving around. So it can be painful.
We need those blue blocker sunglasses like they used to advertise. But it is, you know what it is? It's that blue light, much like our phones and our tablets, that is really, but it's so intense. And I think because of the height of our cars now, you know, it's a little bit higher, so it puts us at a different angle. So those headlights are really, really intense.
Yeah, high-intensity discharge lights, they're called.
Wow. All right, well, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, have a good night.
Thank you.
Now I don't feel so stupid. I thought I was imagining that they were brighter.
No, 301 texted in and said, I agree with Roger. Those lights are too bright. Very distracting.
Yeah.
I agree.
And there are some that actually are using the brights, because the brights actually are your regular beams and then an extra bulb in there. So you can see the two bulbs if you stare long enough and go blind.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that. I can see light coming from two different bulbs in each headlight.
Okay.
So some people are actually driving with their brights on, and it's driving me doubly nuts.
All right. Well, Chuck and Phil, as I thought he would.
There he goes.
Has an answer for us. He texted in. Thank you so much. He said, Hannah Stanley, Roger Badish, and crew, I am at home, Fort Wayne, Indiana, off for the weekend. So we know he's being safe when he's
Excellent.
Texting us.
Very good.
Back out on the road on Monday. Response to the question about the headlights. Yes, this problem with bright headlights, halogen headlights, blue headlights, digital headlights, LED headlights, they've been getting brighter and brighter for several years. And even on the four-lane highway, when you're coming with oncoming traffic, it's a problem. When you're high up in the truck, the lights are shining right at you, even when he's in his four-wheeler going home. He says he's 30 minutes away from the truck yard, and he still runs into the same problem with bright headlights because of the blue light. She says, or he says that I am right, that they're not necessarily unbright. And he said, I know that the National Trucking Association, I bet there's another text coming, but and then 231 says, I hear you, Roger and Hannah, those new headlights are way too bright.
Yeah.
I think you can see that they're a broader beam.
What up?
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. They cover more area with the lightness when you're I'm specifically dealing with the rearview mirror problem,
yeah, and I'm only speaking because those I can fix, right?
You can flip your rearview mirror, even though that's still a pain.
A lot of people have that auto dimming. Fancy yeah. people, have that
you.
One.
What I wonder about.
I don't know if I do
is,
or not. I have no idea.
So this is what I'm curious about.
Yeah.
Because it's blue light.
Mm-hmm.
You know how your phone has a blue light setting because mm-hmm. it keeps you up if mm-hmm. you're watching shows on your phone or anything? Like, I wonder if that's going to be a situation come soon where there's going to have to be like a filter for the blue light for people on the road.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Well, then why did they put out those bright lights in the first place?
But the blue light is something that's supposed to stimulate your brain and prevent you from falling asleep. So are these lights then safer because it's keeping our brains more alert with these other headlights on the road?
I would say no, because if they're that bright, then I'm going to avert my eyes.
We need a dimmer switch.
If they're oncoming. Yeah, some kind of adjustable dimming switch.
We can dim our screens.
I just don't want them blinding me on my way home.
But that's the problem.
Kennedy.
If I'm holding my eyes to the side so that they're not, if for the oncoming cars,
mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to be in trouble driving because the car may swerve or veer off to one side or the other. It's not safe for a driver either if they're oncoming or if they're behind you. I'm distracted with the ones behind me because now I'm not watching the road in front of me.
847 texting in, who said, hello, just tuning in. I believe that those HID lights are hurting our eyes. They literally, boy, I said that like Rob Lowe, literally temporarily prevent oncoming drivers from seeing what's going on. That's what occurred to me earlier. And I was so focused on trying to figure out if it was the high beams to see how many of the headlights were on.
Right, right.
So I'm counting.
But now you're not watching where you're going.
Well, a dog or a deer could have gone flying in front of me. By the way, last time I was here, I was driving home, coyote, middle of the road. North Avenue. I'm driving down North Avenue. Coyote's in the middle of the road. Not in the middle of the city. It was more in the suburbs.
Oh, okay.
But still, it was a thing. So for those of you desperate to hear the elevator topic, which I promoted, and then people got all excited about the headlight topic, we are going to talk about the elevator topic on the other side of the news. I promise. I promise.
I take you at your word.
Okay.
We better. I don't think I have any more elevator music to play.
I've got one.
I'll find some.
I got one
I'll
for
find
you.
Some.
Hannah Stanley pretending to be Dan Aykroyd.
Bing! Third floor.
You worked at Daily Plaza during that filming, didn't you, Roger Badish?
No, I missed that. The Blues Brothers?
Yes,
yeah,
that's the Blues Brothers, the famous elevator scene when they're...
Actually, that was done right before I went to work for her.
Okay.
That was done right before I went to work for her.
The reason we're talking, I'm Hannah Stanley, by the way. This is WGN Radio. I'm filling in tonight for Matt Bubala. Wow, lots of texts still coming in about the headline, really? The headlights. Did I hit a topic that really gets people fired up?
You touched a nerve there.
I think
all
so.
Because Chuck and Phil texted in to say hi.
There you go.
And I was like, I had a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, our listeners become friends with us. You know, we
yes, they do.
They text in and we get, and Roger, you and I can't count the number of times where I'll send you a text and say, so and so died.
Yes. Like we, one of our Facebook
friends. One of our Facebook friends who's a listener, and then we're sad.
Yes.
So Truck and Phil, literally I was driving around today or yesterday last night and I saw these lights and I was like, I know who I have to ask about this. Yeah. A professional driver. So again, you can keep those texts coming in to 312-981-7200. We can keep touching base on those. But someone else said that the reason that there's such a problem is because the beams are very intense, like focused. Where they the old ones used to be spread out over 6 inches. Now these are just like one bulb and it's just like bores into your brain.
Yeah.
So the elevator music of the last segment and then that Ben just played, Girl from Ipanema was the music that was played while the Blues Brothers were going to pay the taxes for the orphanage.
Towards the end of the movie.
Yeah. Yes. So the reason we're doing this, six people stuck in an elevator at the John, I'm going to just call it the Hancock Center.
Well, yeah.
Because there's no name. There's no new name for it.
Yeah. Did it officially change yet? Or
no. Well, okay. They've taken the Hancock off of the building.
The name.
The name is gone.
Okay.
It is the building formerly known as the Hancock, because that's what we all know it as.
Right.
Like we still call it
it's the Sears Towers. Yeah, right.
Sears Tower.
Yeah.
Before I get into the story, by the way, a couple shout outs. I've been asked to make a couple shout outs.
Okay.
My son apparently woke up and...
And heard when you were talking about him?
No, but he asked me. He was like, Mom, can you give me a shout out? I'm like, I just did.
Oh, that's
I just talked
awesome.
About
awesome.
You.
Now you're the coolest mom ever.
So Grace and Stanley, please go to sleep. Because he was like, I swear I slept, but now I'm awake and I'm listening to you. Amy Kerber, who told me the other day that she was going to drink a Coke on Friday and she doesn't do caffeine. And so she's like, I'm going to have a terrible night of sleep. And so, can you?
Did she explain why she suddenly drank a Coke?
I don't know. Apparently, she had something to do tonight, so she needed the caffeine to keep her up.
All right.
Anyway, so Amy Kerber. Anybody else? If I'm supposed to give you a shout out, then there you go. Text me.
Yeah.
Six people rescued from an elevator at the Hancock. My favorite quote: "We don't come down like Batman." So. This apparently happened about 24 hours ago.
Yeah. Friday morning.
Just after midnight, they were leaving the 94th floor, or 95th, 96th, which is the restaurant. Is it still called the Signature Room? It used to be.
I don't think that's changed.
Okay.
I believe so.
The restaurant that is or was called the Signature Room in the building that was called the John Hancock Center.
Wow.
There is an elevator that is still that was called functional and now is not. Okay.
Yes, it is still called the Signature Lounge Cocktails and Light Fare,
which is on the 96th,
and then the Signature Room with restaurant and private events on the 95th.
I have a great story about the Signature Room and Tony Snow, who was the former press guy for President Bush. And I'll tell that at some point later.
Okay.
Because it's a great story.
And he didn't lose his hard pass.
No, he was the press spokesperson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a hard time keeping track now. Who's allowed? Who's not?
Yeah. Anyway, Tony Snow, we'll hopefully get to that story. But... people were leaving last night. Groups of people were leaving and got in separate elevators, and some made it down successfully. Here's the thing. If you haven't ever been there, either to the observatory or to the restaurant and lounge floors, there is an express elevator. So you go from the first floor straight up. Your ears pop like you're in the mountains because you're gaining altitude quickly. What I did not realize until I read this story And what I'm guessing a lot of people didn't realize when they got in these elevators, there's no door to access that shaft other than the top and bottom.
Ah, okay.
This makes me rethink my need to go to the 94th. Now, Patty and I have done this multiple times, as has my son and my daughter. We have done Hustle Up the Hancock, which is now referred to as Hustle, for Respiratory Health Association. We have climbed 95 floors.
Don't you climb back down, though?
No, you take the elevator back down.
That's bad for your knees. Oh. Going up's okay. Going down is not good for your knees.
I might be climbing down this year.
Climbing or crawling? Wait,
don't they have a railing down
they
the
have
stairs?
A railing.
You can slide down the railing.
Zip it. It'll be totally fine. I can rappel it. It'll be okay. I've done that, too.
See, that's what I would do. Just go down that shaft. Just zip line straight down that sucker.
You could be like Spider Dan.
Spider Dan went up. I need to go down.
Yeah, but they knocked out a window for him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, so getting to the quote-unquote punchline of the story, they did not know where the elevator was. A cable that the elevator, and I have a really basic grasp of how elevators work, but there are cables and then there are safety cables.
Right.
One of the cables broke. It snapped.
Which one? Safety cable or the regular cable?
Doesn't matter because the other one held. So I think I think it's like a pulley system.
Like a counterweight.
312-981-7200. If you are an elevator person, you can text in with that information.
I think the brakes.
Or a graphic for me.
The emergency brakes kick in when one of the cables breaks. I think there's a fail-safe system on the elevators.
Oh, there is. And it
kicked in.
It kicked in.
Okay.
So the problem was that the elevator was stuck somewhere between the 95th floor and the lobby.
Somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Did they take someone go up with a stethoscope alongside and listen?
But from where?
Well, because they have to keep walking up and listen.
Yeah. So here's what happened. Because that shaft is completely bricked in.
Oh, jeez.
Right.
I did see I remember the picture now. Yeah.
So one of several cables, this is a quote from the Chicago Tribune article, one of several cables holding it broke. So it was in a blind shaft. No openings firefighters could use to inspect it or reach the trapped people. I don't know if you've ever left at the end of the night. I have. Those elevators are packed. I'm like the fact
at the end of a work day, you mean?
Well, at the end of the night when they're like, all right, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And then they're
one
like,
of those.
Yeah. The fact that there were only six people in this elevator is a miracle in itself.
Okay.
So these people were on their way, some of whom were tourists from Mexico who had left the signature room shortly after midnight. Now, they took the elevator up, but who's really paying attention to how long they're on the elevator, right? So they don't necessarily know, like, oh, we're two-thirds of the way down. So two of the people on it were Northwestern University law students. So I'm sure that's going to...
They were already filling out their briefs for a
lawsuit.
I
think that's going to bode well for the restaurant, for the building. They had gone up to the signature lounge for the first time and were turned away because it was a few minutes past closing time. So they rode up and they rode right back down. 3 hours they were stuck in this elevator. 3 hours.
Wow.
Yes. They said on the return trip, the elevator started going down faster than they were expecting. It was really bumpy. Now that's true though. I've been on the elevator and I'm never a big fan because it's a little bit not so smooth, All of a sudden, dust particles began seeping into the elevator. They panicked. They knew something wasn't okay. But again, back to the problem. The problem is because it is a 95 story bricked in shaft. It's a dual shaft. They could not figure out where the elevator was for quite a while. Mm. They ended up breaking in through because the logic is, Well, you just rappel down from 95.
Sure.
No,
why not?
Which is where the headline comes from. We don't come down like Batman. Because, one, they probably don't have those marvelous toys where they have 95 stories of cable.
Holy steel beam, Batman.
Right? So what they ended up having to do is sort of established where they think they were. And there was a way that they were able to, based on like security type stuff, right? They were able to kind of establish that it was like the lower third of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Then they knocked through this brick wall so they could insert a camera. And then they got close enough where they could actually like get to it. Expose the top third of the elevator, and then get the people out.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break because I have break, and then I have more segment on this. We're going to talk more about this. 312-981-7200.
And I got something else I want to do with you on this, too.
Okay, good. Yeah. I know some people have been stuck in an elevator, and I want to hear about your experience. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Matt Bubala. More on WGN after this.
I have the curious feeling this is all some kind of literary plot.
Let's outwit him, Batman. Let's refuse to bite.
We must, Robin. It's the only way we can...
Are you Batman? Oh, you must be, because that's Robin. Hi, Robin.
Yes, citizen, but don't be alarmed. We're here on official business.
Holy human flies.
Batman and Robin climbing up the side of the building.
Of course.
With the guest window opener... Could you guess what the name was? Or the voice?
No.
Jerry Lewis.
Oh.
That was like one of
If I weren't so tired.
You would have recognized it.
Oh, my goodness. Hannah
that
Stanley.
Was like one of the bits on the Batman show that everyone wanted to do. All the stars wanted to do it.
I love when there's shows that you can tell the stars like. Monk was like that.
Oh, yeah.
You could tell that the stars loved that show because I'm like, how is, you know, this yeah. person happening? Like, Sarah Silverman was in it and, Snoop Dogg did a whole yes. episode. Anyway, back to the elevator. Hey, I'm Hannah Stanley, by the way. This is WGN. He's Roger Badish. And the guy to my right, your left, is Ben, producer Ben. 312-981-7200. We are taking your calls. We are taking your texts. We are talking about the craziest elevator story in the world. And I appreciate 847 texted in and wanted to make sure, Roger, that you and I used climb appropriately because you climb up, you go down. You descend. You can't climb down.
But I could slide down a rope.
Yes, and I could
or
rappel.
Or I could go, or you could rappel down.
How do you go?
Well, you would go
a
just.
Ladder. You don't climb down a ladder.
You could shimmy.
Ooh.
Shimmy Cocoa Pop.
Shimmy, shimmy. So the firefighters on the scene, we're talking about the John Hancock, formerly known as the John Hancock Center.
Oh, I've got that, by the way. It's officially the 365 building, actually.
Isn't it 935?
Is what it's called. Hold on a second.
35 North Michigan?
Hold on
985 North Michigan.
I'm sorry. 875 North Michigan is what it is now officially known.
Yeah.
Okay. I say bollocks.
Ooh.
Okay. So six people were trapped in an elevator when one of the cables snapped. And the emergency braking system did exactly what it was supposed to do in that those people are still alive. So, the problem is that there's basically a 98-story shaft with, like, two openings. Maybe three, four. I don't know. None in between. Top, bottom, done. So, when the fire department showed up, they were able to look at the electronic system. You know, when we see in the movies where they're, like, pacing where the elevators are.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's how I'm envisioning it. Because the movies are always completely accurate. And that's when the text line lights up. I say that sarcastically. But they were able to establish that was basically the lower third of the building. And that's where they started working. Anybody in the Chicagoland area knows they've got that dizzy-inducing parking garage.
Yeah.
Where you go up, you know, mm-hmm. like you're at the Guggenheim, mm-hmm. which is a very rare, like, random reference, but it's totally accurate. But that's where that shaft goes.
Oh.
And so they were able to go through a parking garage wall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. 312 just texted in the one thing that has been on my mind since I read this story. It's hard to imagine how did the people, including the pregnant girl, how did they go to the bathroom? I can't tell you the number of times I've been like, okay, well, I'll just go back to my own floor and then I'll go to the bathroom or I'll go home.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but how long does it take to get home?
Well, it doesn't matter, but you think it's maybe a two-minute elevator ride. Here's the thing. If that person was probably going back to the hotel, right? The pregnant girl, I think, was one of the tourists.
Okay, all right.
So when I was pregnant, would have said, I'll use the bathroom here. Also, pro tip, if you're up there at the 95th floor, mm-hmm. go to the women's room.
It's
best view of the city.
Oh.
You will find anywhere.
I feel like if I do that, they won't let me back.
Here's the thing. We're going to talk about a story like that later in the broadcast, because I'm with you guys until 5 a.m. But there, I have been at holiday parties. Now it's Tony Snow. This is not a Tony Snow story.
Okay.
But we've been at holiday parties where the women would all walk out and go, oh, my God, this is the greatest view. And you can't really take pictures because of the glass and the reflection and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we have then made sure no women were in the bathroom and brought men into the bathroom to show them the view and held the door open. And they're like, this is magnificent. I'm like, I know. It's incredible.
It's just funny to me.
Okay. Truck and Phil also just said, please stay off Lakeshore Drive, Roger, because of the snow.
I don't think I'm going to have to deal with like 10-foot high drifts like last time. I'll be okay. But thank you, Phil.
Yes. They bored through a brick wall and got the people safely out after they braced it. Thank you, Chicago Fire Department.
Well, and so the picture.
Yes.
Because the outside wall were these marble panels.
Yes.
Large square panels. They had to peel that one off first.
Yeah, because we don't want to mess with marble.
No. It's really expensive. And then they had to break through the individual bricks,
mm-hmm.
Just like you would see on the side of a house. So they broke through those, and that was the space that they had to crawl through.
All right, 10 seconds, and then I'm going to do this read, and then I'm going to go to news, or go to break, and then get you to news. But this is not, you said marble is expensive. Mm-hmm. I had a legit dream that I woke up from freaking out that, the Tribune Tower, you know, the travertine that they had on the wall, the gorgeousness.
Oh, yeah.
I had a dream that it was all in the dumpster.
No.
And I was like, no, this is historic. And I'm trying to pull these huge sheets of marble out of the dumpster, which I was unable to do. I'm sure there's symbolism there. We are going to come back. Fred Weintraub is talking to us from Singapore about Brexit. I know there's so many things that are so random about that comment, but he is going to be on with us next. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. More on WGN with me, Hannah Stanley, after this.
I am an anti-coast.
Oh, yeah. Anarchy. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Matt Bubala on WGN, and joining me on the phone is my friend, Fred Weintraub. Fred!
How are you, Hannah?
I am so good. Thank you so much. I was going to say thank you so much for getting up, but this is daytime for you.
It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I guess the two things I need to say to you are, one, I'm looking out the window here in Singapore. I see no snow. You know, I always like living in a place that either is or once was a British colony.
Yes.
But I see no snow. It's 85 degrees. And I guess the other thing I want to say to you is, after listening to you for the last hour, I'm never taking an elevator again.
No.
So no matter how big, how large the high rises get here in Singapore, I think I'll be walking down the stairs.
You know, this is a true story, and then we have so much to talk about that we'll jump right back into it. When my husband and I were getting married, the Methodist Temple is over across the street from Daley Plaza, and it's a very lovely church on the first floor, but then they have Sky Chapel on the very top floor, and we were like, oh, that would be so beautiful. And I said, no, it would not be, because we're getting married on a Saturday. Do you know how hard it is? And I literally said this in front of the minister. Do you know how hard it is to get an elevator tech out on a Saturday? If I am stuck in an elevator in my wedding dress trying to get to my own wedding, that is not a good sign.
That would not be a good day. No. A good way to start a marriage.
No, and so I didn't, yeah. So the room that, like, I waited in prior to the ceremony was on the second floor. I did not even take the elevator down to the first floor. I just took the one flight of stairs. So it doesn't bode well for us going up to multiple floors. We are going to have really good leg muscles, Fred.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay, so Fred, you are, in fact, calling us from Singapore, which is your new home base.
It is. So, as you know, I go between Singapore, London, and working in Chicago. But right now, Singapore is the home base.
This is fascinating to me. Singapore is, from what I've been told, a very, very clean, safe city, and shopping is the national pastime.
Shopping is the national pastime. If you go down a street called Orchard Road, it's like going down Michigan Avenue in Chicago. And I can't tell yet whether, and I've been into a lot of these malls, but I can't tell yet whether people are in these malls because they're air conditioned. And as you know, Singapore is a very humid mm-hmm. climate. So when you walk outside, you would be sweating or drenched within 10 minutes. So a lot of people, I think, like to spend part of their weekends in these big, huge malls. But Singapore is, you know, a small island that is full of culture. And what I think I like about it so far, and it's early on, is as I compare it to Chicago and to London, you know, each of these places has its own culture. And you see things here and experience things here that you just wouldn't experience in either of the two places. So, as always, I look at it as an adventure, but my heart beats strongest when I'm in an airplane, not realizing that now my ride to work is 19 hours, but when we go over the skyscrapers in Chicago and I know we're landing at either Midway or O'Hare, I always have, you know, it always makes me smile because Chicago's my hometown. So I love each of these places that we've had an opportunity to live in, but they're each different in their own way.
They definitely are. I'm thrilled to live vicariously through you. You've sent me pictures from multiple locations around the world. I'm excited for you to get back here and see the new studios when you're in town in a few weeks. However, let's get talking about a couple of things going on. Let's start with the fact that the Prince Charles, the original prince, if you will, well, one of them because of Philip, but Prince Charles just turned 70 and he still doesn't have his grown-up job.
He doesn't. So you're absolutely right. Prince Charles had his 70th birthday on Wednesday, and he's pretty much waited since 1952 to get promoted to his next job. Now, can you imagine as our careers go on and as Roger's career goes on, we've all been promoted at different times to different things. And even though Prince Charles went from being just, you know, a prince, oldest child of Queen Elizabeth II, then he got promoted to Prince of Wales, he's had basically the same job, and he's waiting for one thing to happen, which, you got to think from his standpoint, it's both a sad thing and a happy thing, because his mom has to die for him to become king. But he's had to, since he was four years old, he's had to wait to get that top job. And if you can, if you're in the UK and you have the ability to have some poor form of patience, Prince Charles certainly must have patience because he's waited an awful long time, and he's had to, in all those grown-up years, figure out what is he going to do with himself, how is he going to make a difference, how is he going to contribute to society. And he's really spent his entire career forming the job of Prince of Wales, and has done it in a significant way with, you know, the Prince's Trust, which he started in 1976, which is basically what I would describe as an umbrella arm for 350 charities that benefit the environment, that benefit young people, that benefit unemployed people. So while people can take cracks at him that at times he's criticized for his opinions, there's the other side of the coin, which is he brings in a significant amount of charitable dollars, probably more than any other trust or any other charity in the UK. And you will see, I think, as well, you see her right now, you see that Queen Elizabeth, in certain ways, is backing down on some of her responsibilities, and Prince Charles is taking over. And so you got this guy at 70 years of age, when most of us at 70, I think, would be thinking about, okay, can I call Roger Biash and see if he has time to go to the golf course in? Maybe we can, you know, we can play 18 holes.
Yeah.
That can't be Prince Charles's life. He's about to gear up for the biggest job of his life.
The biggest job that most of us could ever imagine. While I understand it's not necessarily, you know, the presidency, there's still a lot of eyes, and he's had to navigate a lot of very poor press over the past decade or two. Fred, stay with me if you will. We are going to get to a quick break and come back because we have so much to talk about with Brexit and kind of a mess over there right now. But we'll get...
It is a mess, and we'll talk about it. Yep.
We will talk about it. Stanley, boy, talk about a song that describes Fred, a man of wealth and taste, Fred Weintraub. Are you there, Fred?
I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
There you are.
It's very nice of you to say that. None of it's true, but it's very nice of you to say it.
Well, that's all right. I just like that we get to play all the British music. It's awesome.
And I like that, too.
All right. So Prince Charles, Fred Weintraub, by the way, I'm Hannah Stanley, filling in for Matt Bubala tonight on WGN Radio. I can tell the weather, the front is coming through because the headache has hit. So, Roger, I'm expecting to feel like we're in a snow globe any moment now.
Well, wait a couple of hours before you get a little something healthy out there.
Well, but the pressure front,
yeah,
is moving through.
Yes.
That's what I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's my prediction. Some people have a bad hip,
mm-hmm.
a knee that talks to them. I get a sinus headache. So Fred is in Singapore, where it is the opposite weather, not a snow globe. But we are talking about Prince Charles right now, and then we're going to be talking about Brexit, because, oh, what a mess. But Prince Charles, as we were saying, I think everybody on earth knows that he has navigated, and his mother has helped with that, a really bad PR, because he kind of screwed up his marriage. And then, I don't know if people are aware of that. And then what they didn't count on was the fact that everybody loved his wife so much. And then he married Camilla, which is okay. The thing that has saved the monarchy are the kids. Everybody loves William and Harry and the wives and the three grandchildren now and soon to be fourth.
This is true. This is all true. I would say that, yeah, Prince Charles went through a rough period of time through the entire marriage to Diana. The reality is he married the wrong person. He, in retrospect, he probably should have married Camilla in the first place. Did he do some things that probably weren't PR positive? Yeah. Did Diana do some things that probably were not great from a PR standpoint and fairly manipulative? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But what you've seen in Prince Charles is a person who literally turned himself around. He took the transition of being less than a positive, probably role model for his kids, to being a great dad. And unfortunately, some of that was because he had to step up to the plate as a single parent, which he did. And both of the boys, William and Harry, will say, you know, they've had a great dad. And you can even see it in little things like at Meghan and Harry's wedding, when Meghan's father was kind of blowing up the whole party line because of pictures that he had taken and then health issues and not being able to come to the wedding. Prince Charles did what you would expect any father to do. Harry needed help, and he said this on television. He asked his dad, and his dad said, anything you and Meghan need, I will be happy to do for you. And so Prince Charles, as you know, walked Meghan down the aisle. And if you watched even closer, you saw that when Meghan got up to Prince Harry turned to his father and said, thanks, Pa, which is like saying thanks, Dad. And he's come to the plate. He stepped up to the plate, as you would expect any parent to do. What I think you'll see in the future is his kids, William and Harry, would love for him to slow down a little bit so he could spend more time with his grandchildren. I'm not sure that'll happen, because when you're a workaholic, when you pledge an oath to God, I'm not sure that you have that kind of life where you really can step back. But what will be interesting to see is, right now, Prince Charles has the ability to speak out on all different kinds of topics, from architecture to the environment to politics. He probably stays away from Brexit. But when he does ascend to the throne as king, he is all people have been politicians, people in Britain have been worried, will he be able to shut his mouth? Will he be able to do things through the back door and not be so opinionated? And he's already come out and said in the press that he absolutely will do what he said. It's two different jobs. The job of Prince of Wales is much different than the job of queen or king. So I think you will see a king who will be much more reserved, like his mother is. Any guidance he gives will be through the back roads, through the once a week meetings that he has with the prime minister, and God knows who the prime minister will be at that point.
Or but tomorrow.
I think
he'll
be a different kind of person. And the transition is underway. Whether they say it a lot or they don't, you know, the queen is in her 90s. Her health is good right now, as is Prince Philip's. But they're being responsible and making the transition. And you see the transition, and the queen doesn't go on any long-haul flights anymore. Prince Charles and Camilla do all that. And they've operated in a way that both of them have had such poor poll numbers of people not liking them. If you took polls now, I think you would see that their numbers are way more respectable than they've ever been. And as you said, Hannah, the biggest numbers go to William. The bigger numbers go to Prince Harry, who's the most popular of all the royals. And then when you add in the mix of cuteness with George and Charlotte and Prince Louis, and now Meghan's pregnant, that mixture of cuteness, responsibility, and letting the next generation take over is going to, I think, keep the monarchy strong.
You know what? I really have spent a lot of time thinking about this lately. I'm very fascinated with the royals, as you know. But the how revered this next generation, the next two generations are, it doesn't seem like the monarchy is going anywhere anytime soon.
No, they're not going anywhere. Will it look different? Yes, it will look different, in part because it's a different age. So William, people have asked William, will you do the same things that your father's done as Prince of Wales? And Prince William has said, my dad has done a great job with all of his charities, and I will do some of that. but I will be my own man. I will be my own man. And there are things that he is interested in, mental health, those kinds of things, probably less interested in some of the environmental issues. So you'll see a change, but you'll see things that are much more modern. And even though Queen Elizabeth over the last 10, 15 years has really become modern, part of it is that her children and her grandchildren have dragged her into that modern age, and she's been smart enough to know that if this monarchy is going to survive, I better do it in all the ways that I need to in communicating with people. Where 15 years ago, you would never see Queen Elizabeth walk up to the lines where people are and shake hands and talk to people.
No,
and now she thinks nothing of doing that because she knows she should.
Right, and that really started after Diana's death. That's when she started to reach out and become more accessible to the people. We are going to take a break. I promise we are coming back to talk about Brexit. If you have questions about Brexit and whether or not we really should care about it, and I think there's a reason to, 312-981-7200, Fred Weintraub, who is my worldly fellow, but typically here in Chicago, sometimes in London, currently in Singapore. More after this on WGN. I promise I'm going to come back and get you guys to the news right after this.
Turn and face the strain.
Stanley, we are definitely talking about changes or potential changes or the potential for no changes. Fred Weintraub joins me currently from Singapore, but having resided in the UK for many years, off and on. Fred, thank you for calling me at 4:30 your time, 14 hours ahead, which means it is almost the end of Saturday. And the latest update I had, we're talking about Brexit now. We're done with the royal family. Brexit, which was voted on by the citizens of the United Kingdom to leave the European Union, now is in itself maybe going to collapse. What is happening, and is Theresa May going to survive this, the Prime Minister?
Well, the answers to those questions are, I don't know, and I don't know.
Okay.
The truth is that, yes, it's been a bad week for Theresa May, because what's happening, so just in the way of background, the last Prime Minister, David Cameron, he basically puts himself in a position where in order to get reelected to be the Prime Minister, he has to put a referendum for a Brexit on the ballot. He puts it on the ballot, and he also, what he really does is he has to put himself on the ballot. So he puts himself on the ballot, and he loses. In comes Theresa May. So Cameron kicks himself out of the job. Theresa May comes in, and the UK has already voted in 2016 saying that they were going to leave the EU. No sooner did that happen, people in the UK, some of the people in the UK were saying, hey, maybe that wasn't a good idea. Is it stronger to be a member of the EU with 28 countries, or is it better to be a smaller island? And that's where all the fun has stemmed from. So then in 2017, as the process continues, Theresa May has to trigger the start through the Lisbon Treaty to really start the process of negotiating the UK's way out of the EU. What it all boils down to, besides politicians trying to save their own hides, and I will leave it to just discussion of your viewers and your listeners as to whether in any way this looks like anything happening in the same way in the United States. You had a close vote for, I think it was like 51 to, it was within a couple of percentage points to decide whether Britain was going to leave the EU, and they decided that they were. What it all boils down to, as we know, is money. When you see the pound crashing to its all-time low, which it did a couple of days ago. And I think right now it's up to about, for every piece of sterling, the dollar is at is at 128. Well, the dollar was sterling was much stronger a couple of months ago, stronger a year ago. And in the end, that's what I think people care about. Is their economic life going to be better with this or worse with this? So Theresa May is now negotiating in the House of Commons as to how to move Brexit, how to move this deal forward. And right now, I would look at it as a lot of what you've seen over the last few days has been, one, the ministers in the House of Parliament, they get handed this 300 to 500 page document that they're supposed to have read, which outlines how the UK is going to get out of the deal. Did they read any of that? They probably didn't have time to read any of that. The same comparison could be made to Obamacare. Did some things go to Congress that were 500 pages, and did the senators and the members of the House of Representatives really have time to read all the small details? Probably not. Then as you're mixing up the cake mix for Theresa May, you have her secretary for Brexit quitting this week. So unlike cabinet members in the United States that quit or maybe get fired if they're unhappy about something, it creates sensitivities and it creates insecurity, and people don't really know what's going on. So where it stands right now is Theresa May is out there. She's trying to get what she's describing as the best Brexit deal that she can, so that it's favorable, obviously, to Britain. What she's really saying is, I'm not going to ask for the regular EU deal that you would give anyone else who's going out. I want there to be a bespoke kind of contract that is different than the EU would do for any kind of country. So that's like walking into Harrods and saying, I want to buy a suit, and I want my suit to be different and more spectacular and better for the UK than everybody else. And that's what she's in the process of doing. You've got other politicians who are saying, no, we don't agree with that. We're not sure that that's the right way to go. And they don't know if they have confidence in Theresa May. And so if they can get enough people to have a vote of no confidence, then it could throw her out of office. And the bottom line is, you don't know where you don't know where Brexit will end up. Will it end up happening? Right now, in everything that you read, the answer is, yeah, it'll happen in some form. What will that form look like? No one except politicians really know, and they don't know. And they don't know, because it's all being worked out behind the scenes.
Yeah, what I've been paying attention to, and I love that you called it bespoke, because it's such a British word. It's so, like, we want this custom, but it needs to be very British custom. I think it's important that we talk about what the European Union really is and why it exists and what benefit there is to being in it or leaving it.
Right. So what I think that if you're for the EU and you want to be a member country of the EU, you have, from their perspective, better strength, better ability to negotiate security, to negotiate trade deals, because you're part of a stronger union, which is the 28 countries. On the downside, you also pay a certain amount of money to get out of the EU. So right now, the EU is saying that it will cost about £39 billion to get out of their deal with the EU. And then the UK/Britain/Ireland will be free to negotiate any kind of deal that they want to deal. So what it comes down to is, are people in Britain better off being a stronger member with lots of members, or are they better off being on a small island trying to negotiate their own deals? And because the vote was so close, half the country says one thing, half the country says another. I would add, in the way of perspective, that if you look at the different areas of Britain, many areas that had high rates of unemployment. They, of course, voted to bring Brexit in. Maybe they did that because as they looked through their long telescopes of what the future held for them, maybe it was a black hole and they thought, you know what, anything is better than this. Mm-hmm. Maybe that comparison can be made to the elections in the United States.
Yes.
Maybe there were people that half the country that said, we don't like the way things are being run. It makes no sense to us. The economics are not good in their perspective. And if you are on that side of the border, you say, you know what, I'll go with this person who doesn't have any, you know, who hasn't been involved in politics before. So in some ways, we're looking at things the same way with two different countries.
Very interesting stuff. We are going to come back and talk more about how this could affect the United States and why really this is something we should be paying attention to. Fred Weintraub joins me. You guys know him and adore him as my worldly fellow and everybody's worldly fellow. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Matt Bubala. More on WGN right after this. Ben killing it with the tunes tonight during our Brexit segment. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Matt Bubala. And joining me, as he sometimes frequently, when I get to do an overnight shift, because it is his daytime, it is Fred Weintraub. Fred, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Thank you. I appreciate you hanging in for an hour. But you know, I love talking about this stuff with you because you're very, very informed. And plus, I like talking about the royals. So royal talk aside, Brexit is the fact that is what they're calling it, at least. They are leaving England, the British Empire, the UK, leaving the European Union. So Britain is exiting Brexit.
Right.
But is this something, you mentioned that the economy is already dropping, the value of the pound is plummeting. Is this something that we here in the States care about? Does this help us with tourism? How does this affect us?
Well, I would say it affects us in a couple ways. If you know, when you look globally as to how it affects us, any time any of our strategic partners like the UK are weak in any kind of way, especially an economic way, it's not great for the United States of America. On the other hand, it's fantastic for the United States of America if you want to go visit any parts of the UK and Ireland, because the dollar is so much stronger, the sterling is so weak, that this would be a place that you definitely want to put on your list to come visit now, because it's way more affordable. So it kind of depends on how you look at it. I guess the third thing that I would just think about is, because I kind of think about this a lot. So sitting in Singapore, when you get into a cab, and they know that I'm not Singaporean, I'm from the United States, they don't really ask about much about, you know, either, you know, they assume I'm either from the UK or from the United States. They don't really ask about Brexit, and they don't ask about the United States or our current president. On the other hand, when I'm in London, and this happens all the time, and I know it'll happen in 2 weeks when I'm back there, I can't get into a cab without a cabbie in those big black cabs saying, so what's going on with your president? Do you think this is a good thing? Do you think this is not a good thing? So it's kind of interesting to see the two cultures. One that seems like they're not curious about it, although, you know, they have to be in Singapore because of the economics of working with the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, my real answer to your question about does anybody care about it, my real answer is no, I don't think so. If it doesn't affect you, if it doesn't affect you sitting in the United States of America, sitting at Wrigley Field or sitting at Beverly or anywhere in America, then we don't care. If it doesn't affect our bottom line, we don't care. And I think, unfortunately, that's true for a lot of places in the world, because there are lots of places in the world where bad things are going on, both socially and economically, and I don't think it's on the radar of many Americans, because I think we care about, in some ways, we all care about the same things. Can we feed our family? Can we give our kids a good education? And if we can do that in America, then we kind of put our blinders on and don't look at other parts of the world. And so the long answer, which I'm going to make short for you, is I don't think anybody really cares. But you'll care if you're living in the UK, and it's clearly a plus if you want to visit London right now.
And it seems to me that if this goes through in some form or another, that that France and Germany would be thrilled, because they will have a bigger chunk of the pie.
They will have a bigger chunk of the pie. You know, every part of the EU, of the EU countries, will have a bigger chunk. And remember that the UK imports, they don't make very many things, so they import a lot of, they import all their goods. So if in the back of your mind, if you're thinking, oh man, I can go over to London and go into Harrods and I can get a Ralph Lauren polo shirt for a steal, the reality, I think you will see that, I think you probably find now that even though the pound is going down, at some point they're going to just raise the price of the goods because they got to figure out a way to make a living.
Right, so, people need to feed their kids.
Yeah, they do need to feed their kids. And one final thing I would say to you is, and this has been a rude awakening for me, is when you walk into the grocery store in Singapore, well, you want to take a guess as to how much a tube of toothpaste costs?
$17.
Like $11.
What?
Like $11.
Okay, so I wasn't actually that far off.
I told my wife, I'm only brushing my teeth once a week, because at $11 a pop, it's like, man, that's, you know, but you just learn in each culture. When we, you know, we're in the UK, and I first realized that it costs £8 to dry clean one shirt. I was thinking to myself, I will throw out those shirts and buy new ones before I dry clean them again. But you learn to adapt to the cultures, and the UK will be strong and will adapt to whatever these politicians agree to. And even though they have until March, I think, of 2019 before it all becomes official, they are asking for a 2-year additional transition period. So I don't think this will be settled for a long, long time, and we will be on the air many more times to discuss this and anything royal you want to discuss.
Oh, that's, I feel like there's going to be a lot of royal things coming up. I need a 30-second answer, please, sir. Dan from 312 texted in and said, what does Ireland have to say in this? Many large U.S. corporations moved there. Will they still benefit from being in the EU?
Ireland will benefit hopefully Ireland will benefit from the EU. They don't want to be part of, they don't really want to be part of Brexit. So from their perspective, they want to be their own little independent island.
All right. Fred Weintraub joins me. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it and can't wait to talk to you again soon.
I will talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good rest of your day, I should say, as I will have a good rest of my night. Thanks so much. WGN Radio, sitting in tonight for Matt Bubala. So excited to be here, and so much more excited to have Jen Kramer in studio with me. You guys probably remember Jen because she's been on with Patty a ton, our good friend Patty Vasquez, and you and I have become virtual friends and then really, really friends online.
That's right.
Like, I would have done anything for you.
love
you'd be
it.
Like, Hannah, I need help moving a body. And I'm like, I've got shovels.
I'm on my way.
Yeah. Where do you need me to be? But this is the first time we've actually ever met.
In the flesh.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
IRL.
Thank you. In goodness real,
in
for
real
social
life
media.
I know,
yeah, so
I
good.
Know so you were so kind to reach out to me, and you said, look, I think you're so great and I want to meet you. And I was like, I feel the same way about
so
you.
So fun.
It is so fun, and I love that we are able to appreciate people that we appreciate,
right?
And that is why you are here, because you are a professional people appreciator.
That's what 2018 has been all about. Yeah.
You have done something that I very much admire and have wanted to talk to you about for a long time. But now, as we are getting really close to the end of 2018, I want to talk about what you have deemed 2018 for you to be the year of love.
Mm-hmm.
How did that start?
So, my dad passed away very unexpectedly when I was 21. And one of my biggest regrets was not getting the chance to say goodbye. And while he knew how I felt about him, you know, it would have been really great to have one more opportunity to tell him that. And I didn't get that. And so ever since then, and that's been nearly 2.5 decades, I've really made it my, I don't know, sort of a personal mantra to make sure people know how I feel about them. I'm affectionate. I'm usually very forthright with my feelings. But then it started to dawn on me that it's been a while and, you know, I haven't really been doing that with people. And I have with the people closest to me, but not with everybody mm-hmm. that I know. And I was thinking about New Year's resolutions, and I thought I would really like to do something impactful mm-hmm. this year. And I don't ever keep a resolution. Not sure I ever have.
No, mine is always to floss. And I get through to like Wednesday of the first week and then it goes out the window.
And then, what's the point?
Right? Yeah, I have dentists for that.
So that was really it for me. It was, I'm going to just try and, you know, do something. I read an article that said, don't give something up, but add something to your life. You know, maybe take on a practice. And I thought, oh, a really cool practice would be communicating to people in my life that I care about them. And I'm talking specifically about the people that I like.
Yeah.
not the guy who
not
cut me off in
rando.
Traffic.
No. Yeah.
It's pretty much everybody. So that was my practice, my project for 2018. Every day I was going to highlight somebody, talk about them, make sure they knew what the project was. And so I have done that every day in 2018.
When this wraps up, you will have hit 365 people that you have acknowledged and appreciated publicly on your social media accounts.
To them, I've asked permission to take pictures, and I've featured them. I call it featuring somebody. Talked about who they are for me, what they're like, how I know them.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything from my mom to my dry cleaner to the homeless guy outside my building. And it really has had some significant impact.
It has been very powerful for me as a reader to learn more. It's very Humans of New York.
Mm.
But in Humans of New York, we're learning that person's story. And in Year of Love by Jen Kramer, mm-hmm. my guest, it is very much why you appreciate that person, not that person's story necessarily, mm-hmm. although that does sometimes play into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been very moving and important to me, because sometimes I just sit there, you know, you're just having a day,
mm-hmm.
and I see how you appreciate the crossing guard, mm-hmm. you know, that mm-hmm. like waves at you every morning,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, wow, okay, there is always good.
Right. And there is.
There is.
And it's been impactful, because not only has it impacted me as an exercise in gratitude,
mm-hmm.
it's improved every single one of those relationships in a really interesting way. And it's really given those people something to think about. My dry cleaner asked if she could have a print of the post so she could hang it in the dry cleaner. You know, I have had friends that have said, can I have your permission to do this next year for myself? And I started thinking, you know, this is really something everyone could do. If it was of interest to you, if you were interested in impacting yourself and others through caring, love, concern, generosity, whatever those things are, it's free.
Mm-hmm.
I have spent no money doing it. I mean, it's literally just been an exercise.
No, but you have impacted people with money, because when you did post about the homeless person that you interacted with, people gave you money to help him and clothing and stuff.
Mm-hmm. They did. There's, you know, the posts are garnering thousands of likes. That post in particular, his name is Anthony. He's, you know, downtown, State and Jackson every day. I stopped and talked to him. I see him all the time, and we had a conversation, and I told him about the Year of Love, and he was flattered, and he wanted to know all about it. And then all of a sudden, $400 later, people are like, can you buy him some gloves? Can you... My friend said, I have a jacket, you know, it's brand new, I'll send it to you. He wears that jacket every day. You know, there's been some really interesting things like that that have happened.
It is something that has affected me to the point where this is not my first attempt to have you on the air. you were traveling last time.
Right.
But what... You just acknowledged that it has improved your relationships, and it has been a great exercise in gratitude because you've been focusing on who that person is and what that person means to you. What has been, aside from those huge impacts, what has been the best thing that has come out of this year?
You know, there is no question that the people in my life know who I am for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is probably the most impactful. Now, 365 people is a lot, and it's still not going to be enough. I mean, there are going to be some people that I have forgotten to put in, or, you know, I don't really have a methodology by which I choose who is that day. But what I would say is most impactful is its effect on other people. I didn't intend for that. The fact that it has moved you to a certain extent, I didn't intend for that. You know, it was really going to be my year of love, really just as a practice for myself. And all of a sudden, the ripple effect, you know, I acknowledged the woman who works in a building where I teach a class. And there were some students in the class, and they, you know, well, what are you doing? What exactly is that? Oh, my gosh, I want to do that. Can I do that? Mm-hmm. Well, of course you can.
Yeah.
And so that sort of ripple effect has been really profound.
So what is the plan for next year?
Somebody asked me that just today.
Okay.
I do not
have
one.
I hate when I'm not the original.
I do not have. Well, it's great that it's happening today because, you know, I have 6 weeks left.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm running out of time.
Right. Second year of life.
I don't have a plan right now. I don't know.
Is this something that you would want to continue? Is it exhaustive?
No, it's not exhaustive at all. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some days I'm like, oh, why did I say it? But that moment is in a fleeting moment. I think back to my day and who was in it. And, you know, it's, again, an opportunity for me to get real present to mm-hmm. people. Might I do it again next year? I don't know. I think people might, you know, think, oh, geez, a whole nother year of this. But for me, it's been, you know, a really cool experiment.
I think that it has opened so many people's eyes to people around the city.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the person who empties the garbage can in the studio has a story to tell and interacts with us every day and isn't, you know. I heard driving in somebody saying that they had read somebody posted, right? So this is like eighth mm-hmm. hand, right? Yeah. I don't have any friends.
Mm-hmm.
You are either family or you're outside. Mm. And I was like, that's so Jen.
Oh my God, it's very meta. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's, you know what? If you're within the circle, I love you enough that you're my family. And
it's amazing.
And otherwise, then I was like, wow, that's incredible.
The distinction relationship has gotten very very, very crystal clear for me. You know, somebody actually said, you mean to tell me you love your dry cleaner? It wasn't about that. But that's a woman that I see sometimes several times a week yeah. or, you know, several times a month. I see her. We have a relationship. But you know what? Now I know where she's from, how many children she has because of that, this exercise. I told her about it. I told her that she was important to me. I loved going to that dry cleaner. And now, you know what? Our relationship will never be the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is deeper, richer, more interesting.
So you are fostering a kindred love between the two of you. It doesn't have to be familial love.
That's right.
But it can, you can still love people.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. I love who she is for me. I love the role that we serve each other.
And who she is as a human.
And I am now not just another person who walks in the dry cleaner. No, I mean,
you get
it's
your
nice.
Shirts tomorrow.
That's exactly right. Double pressed. It's nice to be known, too. It is. It's really nice to be known in
well,
that way.
Well, but you're being known for kindness.
Right. Right.
We're going to be back right after this. Jen Kramer, I am Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Matt Bubala. I will be back in to be Jen right after this.
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
We are back. It's WGN Radio. Hannah Stanley filling in for Matt Bubala tonight. And joining me is my new best friend in the entire world, Jen Kramer.
Yay!
I know. Year of Love. Hashtag Year of Love. And by the way, if you're interested in Year of Love, you can, what, friend you on Facebook? Where else are you posting these on Instagram?
On Instagram, J Kramerica.
I love that.
J-K-R-A-M-E-R-I-C-A.
Do you have an intern?
Exactly. Kramerica Enterprises.
That's right.
And Jen Kramer on Facebook.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you can even, if you're on Instagram and you're not following her, you can find her also by looking up hashtag Year of Love.
That's correct.
Probably find some other interesting topic, content. But everyone, every day this year, you have posted something.
That's right.
About a person.
I missed one day. I went to bed. I woke up in the middle of the night.
You're like, shoot.
I forgot. So the next day I did too.
Okay.
But which it was a huge victory for me because I'm somebody who, you know, on the diet, you know, the day that derails and you have, you know,
you're like, I'm done.
That's it. Lights out. This time I was like, nope. I said I was going to do this for the whole year.
Good.
And that was when sort of momentum was building. So it
you
was like,
are the only person who has successfully, thus far, continued a resolution.
A New Year's resolution.
We are talking about Jen Kramer's 2018 New Year's resolution, which was to post about a relationship, a person who is special to her or she interacts with, and learn more about that person and why, who that person is, and then post them under the hashtag Year of Love. One of the things that is most remarkable that happened today, no, the most remarkable thing that happened today was the fact that, one, I get to meet you in person because we've been Facebook friends,
right?
But you brought me an ornament for my Christmas tree.
It's Christmas time.
One of my Christmas trees. It is Christmas time to those of us who love, and I will not be shamed for that.
No shame. As a matter of fact, there's an article, no shocking, mm-hmm. that, not shocking, that people who put their Christmas decorations up early are happier.
Yes. I actually talked about this like last time I was on the air. And it really is, the thing that's neat about it is you don't even have to decorate it. It's the lights.
It is the lights.
The glow makes me so happy.
Yeah.
I was telling you during the break that I now have 3 full-size Christmas trees. Mm-hmm. And my husband was like, okay, so are we getting rid of one? I went, no, they make me happy. Mm-hmm. We are keeping them all.
Mm-hmm.
If we ever have to move and downsize into like a tiny house, we will sleep next to the Christmas or under the Christmas tree. We are keeping the Christmas trees.
Yeah.
But you, not only did you bring me an ornament for my tree, you brought me an ornament for my tree from your own tree that is a Mickey Mouse ornament.
It is. It's a Mickey Mouse.
Really, you could not have hit it any better for me because you're a Disney person.
I am.
I'm a Disney person. And you actually worked at the park.
I did.
You drove the boat at Epcot.
I did.
Around the barges.
Back by the World Pavilions.
Oh, I love the World Pavilion.
Gave the spiel from one side of the pond to the other and drove a 40-foot boat, which was not on rails or any sort of track. That was a free-floating vessel.
No, that's a full-on boat.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Drove and talked at the same time. every day.
He multitasked.
Yeah, it was super great. But love Disney, and hence the ornament. I'm a big fan of collecting ornaments from places I've been. So
this, yeah. I mean, honestly, this is very, very meaningful. I told you, you didn't know this, but I had over the past couple of days decided that we were going to take the Disney ornaments that we do have and move them to our new tree, mm-hmm. And make it a Disney tree, because it's the one that we all, like, it's right in the stairs.
Sure.
And it's, the kids are there. So this is going to be my first ornament
of my
new tree. So Kismet. I really thank you so much. But it's very interesting that you and I both share this Disney love. We also share this Christmas love. It's really kind of the same feeling. It's things that make us feel good. We're kind of celebrating.
Yeah, you know, there's so much that, you know, to not feel good about, mm-hmm. that, you know, I'm just a happiness seeker. I think for all intents and purposes, I'm always forever on the lookout for things that bring joy.
One, you just said intents and purposes, so thank you very much, because that is the actual phrase.
Instead of intensive purposes. Yes.
There are times I have intensive purposes.
Rarely.
But typically, it is intense. Yeah. And purposes. So thank you.
Okay, good.
But happiness seeker is really I think it's a great phrase. That is what I've really tried to be more present mm-hmm. in, mm-hmm. Very focused on, is seeking happiness. Mm-hmm. I try to do happy radio, mm-hmm. you know, and bring content and topics that are lighter and, you know, make us all feel better.
And why not?
Yes.
It's important, and where it isn't, we need to put it in, and we all need to do that for ourselves and for others.
There is news that needs to be talked about, mm-hmm. for sure. I get that.
Yeah.
There is also stuff that makes us happy.
Like Disney ornaments.
Yes, and friends. And appreciating people that we interact with every day. Jen Kramer, my guest thus far tonight, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being my friend.
Oh, we have
to play the Golden Girls song now.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my
God. Pump that in.
God,
let's move in together.
I have a spare room.
That's so great. I'm on my way. Yeah.
All right. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Matt Bubala. More after this on WGN.
Come on in and pull yourself up a chair.
The cherry.
Let the fun begin. It's time to let down your hair. Easy, sure, and slide. So it's fantastic and bright.
The
wacky at TV Playhouse.
Oh, so many Saturday mornings of my life spent being excited when that music began. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Matt Bubala here on WGN. Roger Badish, of course, bringing you your news throughout this evening / morning.
Yes, I are.
Yes, you are. And Ben, who is cranking out the tunes, answering the calls.
It's what I do.
Keeping me on task. We are here to converse with you guys. Here's what's happening. Rarely do I see things, and people are always like, oh, it went viral. Rarely do I see news that hits, and like every person on my news feed is like, woohoo, this mm-hmm. is so good. This was that story today. This got announced, and like all of these, a lot of media people, ironic, who would have thought I have a lot of media people friends, but I do. They're all posting this. I was like, that's what we all have in common. We all loved Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Wow.
You didn't, Roger.
Well, I was so much older when it came out, and it wasn't really on my radar for quite a
and
while.
Your kids are...
Well, our daughter's 40.
Yeah, she's around my age.
Okay, so she may have watched it?
No, she probably... Here's the thing. I watched it because I had a little brother. So he was 12, 13 years younger than me.
Well, David was 10 years younger than Sarah. Or still is. Nothing changed.
And this,
not that I know
this
of.
This space-time continuum changed in the 90s.
I am not quite 40 yet, so I spent every Saturday morning watching this, and it was my thing.
loved it. And the thing that a lot of people, sometimes the influence of a show, a program, a piece of art, whatever, a movie, isn't really as known in the moment until you realized what came out of it.
Yeah.
Right? Like The Outsiders, everybody's like, oh, that's a good movie.
Oh, Ponyboy.
But then everybody became famous out of that movie.
Yeah.
So this is one of those things where Paul Reubens, this show is based on his comedy act, his character that was fully for adults. But a lot of the actors, Phil Hartman was in this.
Lawrence Fishburne was
in this. So IFC has announced it's going to start airing Paul Reubens' cult classic TV show, Pee-wee's Playhouse.
The original.
That's where I was a little confused.
Has it been rerun since the original? Since it was originally aired?
Not that I'm aware of.
So this is a big deal.
Yeah. We were looking it up earlier. Ben was telling me it is available on DVD.
Right. But now with all these digital channels on regular TV.
I've never seen it.
Okay. And I haven't either. And I watch way too much of that stuff now.
Okay.
I'm semi-retired.
Okay.
So I can.
So anyway.
Yes.
Where I was confused when this story first hit. Not confused. I was debating in my brain as I was reading the story whether they were going to revitalize it, which we're seeing across the board. We're seeing it with Murphy Brown. We're seeing it with Will and Grace. We're seeing it with Full House, which is the one you were trying to think of earlier.
Boy Meets World.
So where they're kind of picking up where they left off. They wouldn't necessarily have to pick up where they left off. They would just have to pick up with new characters. Yeah. Because obviously we lost Phil Hartman.
Right.
Lawrence Fishburne doesn't work for Saturday morning TV show kind of money.
Yeah.
Asipatha Murkison. She was Reba, the mail lady.
Wasn't she in Law and Order?
Yes.
Yes.
And does
commercials.
Some sort of a painkiller commercial.
Yeah.
Yes. So she doesn't work for Saturday morning TV show.
And who's the other actor who was in it who went on to
Lynn Marie Stewart played Miss Yvonne.
Yeah.
Yvonne. Miss Yvonne.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different show. Yeah, I'm thinking of a different show. Never mind.
Okay, so IFC has announced that this coming Thanksgiving day, when you're all footballed out, or even before you get there, they're going to play the five seasons of Pee-wee's Playhouse. So this is, they're not redoing it. They're not remaking this. Mm-mm. They're not starting up again.
They're just rerunning the series.
In 24 hours.
On a cable channel?
Well, IFC is going to play a 24-hour marathon, including the special Christmas at Pee-wee's Playhouse. Okay, which I don't remember that.
Ooh.
Maybe I will once I see it.
Yeah.
Because I will so be recording all of these. But then starting Saturday on the 24th, they're going to start running it on Saturday mornings on IFC.
So at pretty much the same time or when it originally aired?
Sure. I don't remember when it... I remember it aired on Saturday mornings. Yeah. You know who else we got back? Ernest. Ernest was Ernest Saves...
Know What I Mean?
Christmas.
Know What I Mean? Yes. He was one of the segments on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
I remember. I remember the Ernest movies.
Yes.
I thought they were hilarious.
Yes. And then, so he was another spinoff because of Pee-wee's Playhouse. So it was actually very important culturally in who we got from that.
I gotcha. All right.
Roger, he wasn't a regular character, but a one-off character as Johnny Wilson was portrayed by a one Jimmy Smits.
That's really
nice. Wow. Yeah.
So my question to you, Roger, and you, listener, 312-981-7200.
I think we have more than one listener, but go ahead.
Well, but the person listening is only them.
Right. I gotcha. I'm sorry.
Hey, you, my Bob. Bad. I'm going to go romper room right now.
Pull out the mirror.
I see Timmy.
Yeah.
And Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary.
Yeah.
And Amy.
Please say my name. Please say my name. Please say my name.
And Roger.
Oh, she said my name.
And Grayson, who should be sleeping. No, so my question is, there are very many kids' programs that should not, and I will say Sesame Street being one of them. There are very early episodes that handle situations and topics very differently than we would handle them now.
Well, because it's been on for so long.
So long.
Yeah.
And we've grown and learned more and changed culturally. Mm-hmm. But apparently this one's okay. So what are other shows that we should bring back?
Just in general?
Just, well, or other kids' shows?
Well, see, but here's what I think about kids' shows.
Mm-hmm.
Those shows that we saw as kids that were geared towards kids, we would not enjoy again because we're not kids.
I disagree because Pee-wee's Playhouse is
but
coming back.
But that wasn't necessarily geared towards, it's an adult kids' show.
It's, all right. Well, let's come up with other ones.
Because, see, if I want to bring back, I want to bring back Captain Kangaroo, I will be bored.
Good example.
Thank you. I will be bored about 5 minutes into it, even though I love Captain Kangaroo.
Mr. Green Jeans.
Yes, and I'm talking the original before they started adding more characters to it and doing the educational thing with it.
All right. You think of this through the break.
Okay.
I am, right now, I'm going to tell you about this, and then we're going to go to break, and then we'll come back. The Steve Cochran Show's own Pete Zimmerman is an Orange Theory junkie. Tune in on Monday at 9:40 when he and our friends from Orange Theory try to convert Steve to be a believer. My brother Walker used to call this Roger Hood.
Who? What?
My little brother Walker, who's taller than me and, you know, in his 30s, called it Roger Hood.
Well, thank you.
It's Mr. Roger's neighborhood. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Matt Bubala. That is Roger Badish. Also talking with me, Ben, who is behind the keyboards playing Roger Hood.
And I got to say, Roger, I think you found the name of your book.
Roger Hood.
Roger Hood. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
No, he would call it Roger Hood. He was like, Nani, that's what they called me. Nani, play Roger Hood.
And I'm did you see the special?
Not yet.
The documentary?
The documentary, no. Oh. That is, because I will so
being a box ugly of Kleenex.
Cry.
Oh, I was all over the place. Not kidding.
All right, so the night that he passed away, and all the tributes were on TV, and I spent a lot of time watching Channel 11 and PBS, you know, as it were, and Mr. Rogers, and he was a big part of my childhood, as he was for so many, and I'm on the phone with my parents, my dad's on the phone with me, and I said, this is so dumb, I never met him, why am I so sad, and I'm crying and crying, and he goes, because truthfully, you spent more time with him than you did your grandparents.
That's probably right.
Yeah. And he goes, you're valid in your feelings and for your grief. And I was like, okay, thank you, Mama.
Now, I've got a double, kind of a extra angle on that.
Yeah.
It was on when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then I rewatched it with my kids.
With your kids.
Because it was still on when they were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a completely different perspective on it. And it, again, I go back to what I mentioned to you before the break. That is the kind of show that parents can watch and understand and that it's, as he admitted himself, the show was geared towards adults, grown-ups. He dealt with some grown-up issues.
Absolutely.
And then helped kids understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm going back with my contention that those shows we saw as kids that were geared specifically to kids, mm-hmm. that did not give a wink or a nudge to the adults who may have been in the room with the kids, those shows, if we were to watch them today, we would be bored with.
I get it. I get it. Yeah. Let's go to Tim. Yeah. Tim in Belvedere. Welcome to
Roger.
WGN.
Hello. You know, I just turned you guys on like 8 minutes ago, and I had to get out on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood because I agree with you. That is, it's a huge part of a lot of people's lives. Like, I'm listening to you, like I said, I turned on 8 minutes ago. I was born in 92, and Mr. Rogers was one of the biggest parts of my childhood. But, Roger, I got to disagree with you for a second.
Okay.
Because you can rewatch those episodes and still feel that same, like, glimmer that you felt when you know, however old you were.
I agree with you on Mr. Rogers.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll agree with you on that. Oh, yes. Definitely, because as I just mentioned, a lot of what he covered was really geared towards the adults, because he knew that there were adults in the room with those kids watching with them.
He would have preferred that.
Exactly.
He wanted to spawn those conversations.
Exactly. And then he would cover the adult subjects, but then he would explain it or re-explain it for the kids to understand.
And he would, yes, yeah, that's the key. Explain it in simple terms that everybody can understand. You have to speak that universal language, and that's something that Mr. Rogers, he was a crazy, like, I mean, he wasn't crazy, but did you know that he served in the military?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He studied to be a priest. I did not know that.
Yeah.
But those two things together, you know, you think about it in fairly modern times, and it's like the complete opposite. But he somehow found a way to, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I just, I really appreciate Mr. Rogers. And
As do I.
Good feelings to all, you know.
Yeah, have you had a chance to watch the documentary?
No.
Go on to, well, I don't know if you have the service, but Amazon Prime, the video service,
okay.
Has the documentary on there. It was
in theaters.
Yeah. Who was the actor who produced it? Tom Hanks. Was it Tom Hanks?
Oh, yes.
I think Tom Hanks produced it. And it, you will be verklempt by the time it's over. You will be crying.
Tom Hanks is starring in a new movie.
But I think he also produced the documentary.
Yeah.
About it. Produced it. He didn't put it together. He supplied. Some other people also put the money together to produce the documentary. But it explains everything. And it is marvelous. And you will be beside yourself with happy tears at the end of it.
All right. Tim, I'm so sorry. We have to go. We have to get to break because we got to get to news. But thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it.
Thank you for that touch in the beginning. The theme song hit me in a good spot.
It made you feel some sort of way, as I like to
Absolutely.
Say. All right, thanks so much. Hey, we are going to continue talking about this through the news. So callers, start lining up because 312-981-7200. We're taking your texts. We're taking your calls. If you've got a show, we've got several that people are suggesting that they would love to see back or at least available online maybe. But in the meantime, we've got coming up The Stories That Matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio right after this.
It's the Muppet Show!
Stanley.
It's time to dress up right.
Ah. Muppet Show tonight. I believe I just did the dance that I used to do when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
When that show was on. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Matt Bubala, Roger Badish doing news. Hey, let's get to Joe. Jay. Jay was like, who's Joe? I've been waiting longer. Jay and Kenosha, thank you so much for holding through the news. I appreciate it.
Hello, Hannah Stanley. It's great to hear you on WGN.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And the subject that you're speaking about, bringing back children's television programming, reminded me when you mentioned Sesame Street. I just want, the first thought that came to my mind was the song Rubber Ducky. Rubber Ducky.
You're the one.
Was the first one. Well, Sesame Street was created in the mid 60s, so of course those were the days of my childhood. Then following Sesame Street came Electric Company.
Yes.
And then there was also a Sesame Street version in the Hispanic language for the Hispanic population. And there were other programs such as Zoom.
Yes.
And Ripples and The Wordsmith. Those were the shows that were on PBS that came to my mind immediately. But, of course, I loved all the programming back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s that WGN carried as well, Hannah. So, that's my comment for this morning, okay?
All right. Thank you so much for holding. I appreciate it. Have a great night, Jay. Oh,
you too. Thank you, Hannah.
You know what? Jay was not alone. The number one show that we are getting texts about at 312-981-7200. I'll say that again. 312-981-7200 is Zoom.
Really?
Yes.
Love that.
Yes.
That show. Come on and zoom.
Yes. Come now, on and Electric zoom-a, Company. Zoom-a, remember Rita Moreno?
Yep.
Hot little spicy number, Rita Moreno. She did that. Hey, you guys! At the beginning.
Hey, you guys.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now we would run into a little bit of issues replaying that because Bill Cosby was in it. He was in
on Zoom
on Electric Company.
Electric Company, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman.
He was in it.
Another questionable
concern. That's who I was thinking
concern.
Of before when I said never mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I was thinking of.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Zoom. Zoom is the number one. And then Jay also mentioned Wordsmith.
Mm-hmm.
Also got one on that. And Ripples.
Mm. Now, that one I don't remember.
I don't either. Yeah. But I will tell you, there is another one that I doubt anybody would remember. But I found it when I was watching PBS. And by the way, these are all PBS shows. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
There was a TV show that I used to watch with my little brother, and it was on kind of right after Roger Hood because Electric Company wasn't on. I always call it Roger Hood now. He also used to call it Shampoo and Rinse Poo.
Shampoo and
Rinse Poo, which will take us into a whole other segment on cute things kids say, but we're not going to go there.
We are not talking about that for another time.
We are now. Right. So.
Shampoo and
rinse poo. Yeah. Shampoo and instead of conditioner. Shampoo and conditioner. Cream rinse. Right? Nobody calls it cream rinse anymore. It was shampoo and cream rinse. Yeah. So then it was shampoo and rinse poo. Okay. So anyway, there was a TV program also on PBS called Square One TV.
I remember.
I don't
Do you remember?
Remember?
Okay. Because you're of that age. It was all math.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting because I was in college. And I'm watching this with my little brother, like, why didn't I know these math tricks? I was really mad. And then now that my kids are in grade school, I'm like, I really wish we could find Square One TV. And you can, but they're very expensive, the DVDs. So, anyway.
Now, Zoom
mm-hmm.
actually was brought back.
Was it?
Yeah. there was the Zoom that we grew up with. Well, you grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And there was the Zoom that our daughter watched as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went away for a while, and I think about, I want to say about 10 years ago, they brought it back. Not the reruns. They had a new group of kids and stuff.
Yeah, and that's interesting. They did this with Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, too.
Yeah, which
where they had the Annette Funicello in, like, Thursday Day and whatever.
That was my youth.
Right.
And I've got DVDs on those.
Of course you do.
Of course. Okay.
And two of the original Mouseketeers were at Mickey's 90th birthday celebration.
Yeah. Oh, really? Who was it?
Uh huh.
Who showed up?
I don't know.
Oh,
what two I of them. What
it was
I
a
know.
Very very. It was a very tall man and a woman who is very short by comparison.
Uh huh. Okay.
So this
it
this
wasn't
is what I
Cubby.
Know.
I know it wasn't Cubby.
So Roger,
yes.
To answer your question,
yeah.
Zoom was originally a 1972 TV series.
Okay.
And it was brought back in 1999.
See? I told you.
So when they brought back Mickey Mouse Clubhouse,
they jazzed it up and
yeah,
made it
but,
all contemporary.
Yeah,
and,
but couple two, three people you might know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Carrie with the pretty hair who's
Underwood.
On The Americans? No.
Oh.
Carrie Russell?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Maybe a little Justin Timberlake?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They Sorry. Did they did some nobody talks about JT like that.
Sorry.
Come on now.
Will you turn my mic off? Go ahead.
I'm going to. That man is bringing sexy back, and he's
can't
doing...
Argue. Can't argue.
Yeah.
There was another one, though. So there was another girl, like, that was our generation.
That show spawned careers of so many.
But it wasn't the only one. Do you remember a little ditty called Kids Incorporated?
Kids
yes.
Incorporated.
Yeah. I like that one.
Hey, we got Jennifer Love Hewitt from that one.
S. Yeah, that's okay. We could have passed on her.
I want to. I will still be happy to give it all up for that one.
All right. So from my generation.
Well, wait, though. Okay, I'm interrupting. All right. Now I am. No, I'm not.
Because
my
you can.
Because I can. No, right. But because I want. Because we got to go to break. But because Ben played the Muppet Show.
Right.
Theme
uh-huh.
song. They tried to bring the Muppet Show back.
And it didn't
back.
Work.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was very well done and very funny. But
they also tried to do it prime time.
They did it prime time, and it was a whole comedic series, mm-hmm. whereas the Muppet Show originally just had, like, a guest star, and they did bits and shtick,
right,
and it was
yeah.
like vaudeville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Pigs in Space.
Oh, my God, Pigs in Space was so good.
Yeah. Pigs in Space!
So I feel like let me throw these out for discussion. Yes,
before
sir.
You go, right before we go to break.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Shows I would love to see them rerun, but I know they can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because the tapes don't exist.
Okay.
And very little of it.
Howdy Doody.
Nope. Because okay. those are being rerun, but the second version.
Bozo.
When they went to color. Bozo.
Uh-huh.
Garfield, Goose and Friends.
Sure.
And I want, it's not a kid show, actually, but I want them to get the music rights.
For WKRP in Cincinnati.
That too.
I'll say yes to that one.
That too, and the Johnny Carson show. Reruns.
Oh.
Have we not brought up Lamb Chop yet?
Ooh. No, we have not.
Okay. Yeah.
Now you're going to make me cry again.
All right, we got to go to break.
Please.
Hey, Bears fans. Enter for your chance to win two spots on the all-inclusive Bears fan trip to Cancun at chicagotribune.com/monstergiveaway, courtesy of the Chicago Tribune.
Conjunction, junction, what's your function?
Hooking up words and phrases and clauses.
Conjunction, junction, how's that function?
I got three favorite cards that get most of my job done.
Oh, Schoolhouse Rocks.
Junction, what's there?
That is how I learned how a bill became a law.
I'm teaching the grandkids with that.
He's,
That's
I'm just
how
a bill.
It goes.
Yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight, sitting in WGN's studio, the Skyline Studio, Allstate Skyline Studio, filling in for Matt Bubala tonight. Thank you to everyone who has welcomed me. And Roger, it is so nice to get to share the airwaves with
Always
you.
A pleasure, my dear.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. We are talking. I really thought that we would have some interaction. I am pleasantly surprised by how passionate people are about so many of these shows that so many of us grew up with. Bozo, of course, was one of those things for us locally, the Chicagoland area.
One of the most popular Bozo franchises.
Right, because there were Bozos elsewhere. Right.
Yep.
However, Bob Bell was the greatest.
Yep.
847, by the way, 312-981-7200. We're not talking about a show that we would pick up where it left off.
No.
Like they've done with Full House's Fuller House, and Boy Meets World became Girl Meets World, right? I think that's what they called it. We're talking about the shows that they could take the tapes of and replay them and have us relive our youth or help teach our kids with those same things that we learned. Like I said, some of the Sesame Street.
It's a little
politically incorrect
dated.
And dated. Absolutely. But Mr. Rogers is really one that we had one person say that Mr. Rogers was patronizing.
Well,
depending on the age that you came to Mr. Rogers,
He was having a conversation with kids.
Right.
He wasn't preaching. He wasn't trying to preach. But he was having a conversation with kids, and that's how he had discovered how kids wanted him to have that conversation.
Right.
So it could, depending on your point of view, yes, it could have come across as being a tad condescending.
Yes. But all the other people are saying Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
We need to start replaying Mr. Rogers. Lamb Chop.
Mm-hmm.
I knew of Lamb Chop, of course, but I didn't grow up.
Sherry Lewis.
Sherry Lewis, yeah. Right. But I didn't really grow up watching.
Yeah, them. I did. This was when she was extremely popular and very young.
Mm-hmm.
I watched her when I was younger. Then she went away, and then she came back again in another version, and then she went away again and started doing specials.
Mm.
Bob
Hope style.
Kind of, yeah. Comedy specials and stuff. Very popular overseas.
Oh.
Extremely popular overseas. I would bring back Soupy Sales.
You can find those,
yes,
though.
There are some, but this is what I'm saying. If we're saying, because I can find a lot of the other ones that weren't destroyed because TV stations had to reuse videotape,
right?
Because it was so expensive. They did not save these. They don't exist anywhere.
Right. No, that film was pricey.
Exactly.
So someone else texted in that there was one that was called, that was referred to, kind of the tagline was TV for kids by kids.
I've been searching.
Yeah, I feel like I remember that too, but I don't know either. And you know, I'm going to remember it like 5:30 on the Eisenhower. I'll be like, oh, such and such.
I do recall something similar-ish on Nickelodeon called You Can't Do That on Television.
Okay.
But
that I was telling you during the break, we didn't have cable till I was in college because my parents were mean.
Jeez, I still don't have cable.
Well, I know, and I might not, depending on how the prices go. But but I wasn't a Nickelodeon kid because I didn't have it, you know, and when you went over to your friend's house, you didn't just watch TV. You wanted to play things. So so very interesting. I don't remember a lot of the Nickelodeon shows at all. But,
yeah.
But again, that was later. When are some of those shows?
80s.
80s?
Late 80s.
Because they're bringing back the
312 Contact. Yes, 630. Thank you.
Oh, yes. I remember that one from the kids.
Yeah. That's a good one. Again, though, isn't that PBS?
Yes.
How many?
And they want to cut funding.
They always want to cut funding.
Just saying.
It's just, it's a whole thing. But all of the shows, the vast majority of the shows we have talked about that have influenced us that we feel could still have value,
mm-hmm.
PBS.
Yeah.
Right now, my kids have watched a ton of PBS. There's so much good programming on PBS right now for kids. Mm-hmm. So
my
good.
My grandkids loved Arthur. Now they've kind of grown to, as they've grown older, they've grown out of Arthur. But they loved Arthur, and it's still viable.
You know what I find myself watching, even when the kids aren't around, is Curious George. Because they've got the nice jazz music in the background.
Oh, yeah.
It's very calming, very relaxing.
Yeah, the whole Curious George thing is very relaxing. The guy in the
yellow hat
is just way too understanding.
Yes. What was the Gary Gnu? All the news, all the gnus that's fit to. It was with animals.
What was that from? Wasn't Sesame Street?
Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. Hey, somebody else made a reference to Uncle Mistletoe and Aunt Holly at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
My family has an Uncle Mistletoe doll. I'll have to bring it in. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he flies away to the North Pole, and then he comes back as soon as the Christmas tree is put up. We are needing to get to the break to get to news because we have this amazing interview coming up next. I'm very excited to talk about the Pinta Pride Project with Carolyn Pinta, who will be my guest next. So let us do that. And we will come right back and get you guys to the news with Roger Badish. We're back. It is WGN Radio. I am Hannah Stanley sitting in tonight for Matt Bubala. Happy, as always, to be here. And you know what? Right now we're talking about, my guest, who's going to join me in a second, is Carolyn Pinta. I don't know if you guys have heard about the Pinta Pride Project, but that is what we are going to be talking about. It is something that I'm super excited about. And one of those things that really, as soon as I learned about it, I was like, how can I tell more people? How can I get this message to more people? And guess what? WGN Radio is a great way to do it. Carolyn, thank you so much for your time and for staying up with me.
No, thank you so much for having me.
So tell me a little bit about the Pinta Pride Project, and then I want to talk to you about why, because the why is so very special.
Great. The Pinta Pride Project is a nonprofit that we actually just put into action a couple of months ago in order to throw, in particular, Buffalo Grove's first Pride Parade, which is going to be next June of 2019. And we're also using it to fund educational events and awareness events in our town to make the LGBTQ community feel seen and normalized. And it all came about because of my 12-year-old daughter.
Okay. So the suburban areas, while I'm quite sure they have representation of members, community members who are within the LGBTQ community, but as you mentioned, they don't have as much representation as far as pride events, pride parades, things like that. Tell me how Molly was the inspiration, your 12-year-old daughter, Molly.
Awesome. Well, we all know about the amazing parade in downtown Chicago, and my daughter, being 12 and having come out to my husband and I last spring, we wanted to let her experience a parade that weren't necessarily ready to go down to the crowds of Chicago. So we went to Aurora's inaugural parade, which was this past June, and they did just a spectacular job. It was a 98-degree day, but they still managed to get 5,000 people there. And it was just a beautiful day, family-friendly parade was how they build it. And Molly and I actually got to walk in the parade with a student group, and Molly carried a sign talking about how she had started the First Gay Straight Alliance Club at her school. And the crowd was so welcoming and friendly to her and calling out, "Great job, Molly, good for you." It just gave her such confidence that we got in the car on the way home, and she was so excited about the event that he wanted to immediately talk about throwing one in Buffalo Bowl. So he started talking about how much more special it would be if she was willing to put out there that she herself is a gay 12-year-old and is looking for the support of people in her community to help her hold this event. So we just threw together a video that we put on my own Facebook page with a GoFundMe, and she managed to raise about $10,000 in the first 2 weeks. So people were very excited about the idea, and it's really grown from there.
Okay, $10,000 in 2 weeks on a GoFundMe really is very special. It doesn't happen frequently. We hear about it. You know, we're like, oh, we raised $50,000 in 22 minutes. But that doesn't always happen.
Right.
Were you getting support from the community, your family and friends, or bigger players within that LGBT community? Who were you seeing that support coming from?
Definitely a wide variety. Definitely people that we recognized. But the coolest part was that there were just tons and tons of people that we had never heard of. That just, we could tell that this was something that resonated with so many people. So many people could say that they have someone gay in their life, and by donating to my daughter's special project, that was a way to honor the person in their life. So really, I would say there, if I were to go back through that GoFundMe, there is equal representation of people that we know and people we've never heard of, which is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And the people that you've never heard of will be increasing in numbers because
I hope so.
Yeah, you already know the people you know. So, you know, right. Everybody else now is going to be new and supporting you for their own reasons and for the belief in what you guys are doing. As you mentioned, you guys have already, you started out with the goal of having Buffalo Grove's inaugural Pride Parade, which is really quite an undertaking. I don't know. I would have no idea to do anything involving a parade. But you guys have already secured a date and you know the route and everything. Tell everybody when and where this is going to be.
Thank you. It's going to be in Buffalo Grove, and it'll be June 2nd, 2019, probably starting in the late morning. We have one stretch of through a residential area that's called Checker Road. And there is about a 1 mile stretch that is just a straight shot right down this residential area with tons of parking in side streets nearby. So the parade will go down that way and is then going to cross one major road in Buffalo Grove and end in a park called Mike Ralco Park, which is owned by the Buffalo Grove Park District, where they hold their Buffalo Grove Days Festival every year. And super exciting, they have stepped forward to partner with us, and they are going to throw a festival at the end of our parade that they're calling a diversity festival. So, of course, LGBTQ will be a big part of that, but they're also going to highlight all of the different cultures that we have here in Buffalo Grove. So that is all going to be happening on June 2nd. And I guess one thing I should say, too, is, of course, we're throwing the parade in Buffalo Grove, but we certainly welcome participation from anybody far and wide who would like to come. And certainly hope to get representation from all the North Shore, just because the next closest thing really is the Chicago Parade.
Yeah, and the Chicago Parade draws from all around the country and the
right.
world, of course. But June 2nd is within that June Pride month. So there will be people who make the Chicagoland area a destination during that month because of how inclusive definitely certain neighborhoods and areas are within our city. But for the city of Buffalo Grove and the Park District to see this opportunity to celebrate diversity within their own community, way to go, Buffalo Grove.
Isn't that awesome? We're very lucky.
It really is. incredibly neat. We're facing a time right now, politics aside, where not everybody is as welcoming as they could be. And so this is a really neat opportunity for the Park District to celebrate all that is good within their own community. You know, I used to have a food program here on WGN and really celebrated so much of the diversity of flavors and how lucky we were in the Chicagoland area to have so many different cultures represented in food and in restaurants.
And, yes.
And
I certainly hope they'll represent some of that at our festival.
I hope so, I too. I already have it on my calendar, so I'm hoping.
Oh, awesome.
I am hoping that that is represented also. We are talking right now to Carolyn Pinta, who is the mom of Molly Pinta, who is the reason for the Pinta Pride Project, which is really the group that is spearheading and is behind the Buffalo Grove's inaugural Pride Parade, which will be June 2nd. We are going to continue our conversation with her right after this. Hannah Stanley sitting in on WGN. Back after this. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Hannah Stanley sitting in tonight for Matt Bubala. Happy to be here and get to talk to you guys as well. If you're just joining me, Carolyn Pinta is my guest right now. She is the mom of Molly Pinta, who is really, I think we're going to talk to Molly in just a second, but she is a 12-year-old girl who came out to her parents, and Carolyn is her mom, and they then went as a family to the Aurora parade, basically, and which was last year. It was their first parade, Aurora's, and decided that Buffalo Grove needed one. I don't know any 12-year-olds who think we need a parade for what for any reason. And then Molly at 11 essentially decided, you know, what would be really cool is not just for me, but to make it more inclusive so people like me can know that they're in a community where there is love and support. How amazing is your daughter? Do you just like decide, like, you know what? I'm done. You can raise yourself because I can only I can only mess you up at this point, because that's kind of what I would say.
Oh, thank you.
No, she's
also a lucky kid to be in, like you say, in this pocket of acceptance and hoping to help other kids that aren't.
You know what? Agreed. But you guys are doing really, really an amazing thing in taking on the Let's Start a Parade. I mean, this is not like a musical where we're like, you know what? Just get 76 trombones. It'll be no big deal. This is,
right.
There's a lot to this. So, so how exactly does this work? You go to the city council? Do you, like, what was the first step in getting your community, which is Buffalo Grove, to go, yeah, let's do this. We should do this.
Right when we had the idea over the summer, I had actually recently met with our village president and manager about another issue. So I happened to have them quick in my email. And I sent the village manager an email and told him what our intentions were. And he right away said that was great, but the person to talk to was one of the police officers in our Buffalo Grove Police Department, so he sent me over that way. And that officer was immediately very positive, too. We were so lucky. He said, I think this is a great idea. Let's get together and talk. So we've now had three meetings. We'll have another one next month, and they are really the ones that kind of help you set the parameters of what the route will be and what sort of police protection you need or help with the events. Now that the Park District is on board, they'll be able to tell us, too, what kind of insurance we should have for the event. All of these extra people coming on that add more and more to each of these meetings helps clarify the process. Because like you said earlier, you wouldn't have the slightest clue where to start.
No.
And I really didn't either. So I'm so lucky that we have the village support and we have the support of the police department to help us out. We also paid a whole lot of attention when during Labor Day, our town does Buffalo Grove Days and they throw a parade. And we actually walked in that parade, decorated our car for pride just to advertise that this was coming. And we paid a whole lot of attention to the way they set things up.
You know what?
So that we could steal some ideas.
You know, good for you, because why reinvent the wheel?
Exactly. When it works well for the town every year.
Exactly. Really debrief on things that work well and don't work well and figure out how to improve upon it. We are talking about Buffalo Grove's inaugural Pride Parade, which will be happening June 2nd. I'm just so excited. It is at Pride Month. You guys are June 2nd. Aurora has a parade and a festival within that Pride Month. And then the last Sunday is always the Chicago Pride Parade. So people can really make a whole month of this. And
absolutely. Lots of choices.
So many choices. And go to all of them. I encourage people to go and do that. Tell me how people can be involved, especially your inaugural year. You guys, I'm guessing, need some help.
Absolutely. We do have a website up and running at pintaprideproject.com. We also have a Facebook page running that's called BG Pride 2019. And anybody who wants can either join the Facebook page or go on the website, which will give information about how the entire project started. We sell merchandise off of the website to raise funds. And there are constant updates. So very shortly, we will have up on the site more information about sponsorship. We definitely will be looking for any organization or business that might like to sponsor, but even a family that would like to walk together in the parade, we would love to have. And there will certainly be opportunities to join committees as we get closer. To help the running of the parade and the organization of the parade, and information about all those different aspects can be found on the website or on the Facebook page.
You know what?
So again, pintaprideproject.com.
Pintaprideproject.com. And also, I think you mentioned the Facebook page, which I am on all the time. You guys post constantly. There's so much support and events and news articles that you guys are always putting out there so that people can stay informed, and not just about your own event, but you know, things within and related to the LGBT community. The other thing you just said, you said a couple of things. One, you said family friendly regarding right. The Aurora Parade and regarding your own, the Buffalo Grove inaugural parade on June 2nd. But the other thing you said is if a family wants to march together, wants to come into this parade together or sponsor something, one of the biggest moments, and I have watched the Chicago Parade, I have walked in the Chicago Parade multiple times, the Chicago Pride Parade. Everyone stands, cheers, goes crazy when the P flag contingency goes past, which is parents and friends of lesbians and gays. The families who are supportive of their people who are within that LGBT community are so revered and loved and respected, and like, because so many people wish they had that. So, yeah. So really, if this is something that, you know, you're supportive, try to be a part of this. It really means so much to people within this community.
Absolutely. And Hannah, I'm glad you brought up PFLAG, because we do have a PFLAG chapter that's very close to Buffalo Grove in a town called Deerfield. And actually, a couple of them came to an event that we held last night. So we are definitely in contact with them. They know they are all invited. And we sure hope we'll have a big contingency from PFLAG marching in our parade.
It is.
They're awesome.
They are awesome. And really were awesome when a lot of groups were not as supportive and accepting. So, Carolyn Pinta, you are one of the spearheads of the Pinta Pride Project. Let me say this again, pintaprideproject.com? Yes?
Yes.
Okay,
exactly.
Good. And And then you can go, like I said, the Facebook page as well. Molly Pinta, your 12-year-old daughter, who is making the world a better place just by being her and owning who she is and not apologizing for it, because there's nothing to apologize for. She's trying to make everything better for others who are like her. And that is why Buffalo Grove will this year have its very first Pride Parade that is June 2nd. So for more information, you can go to that website. I really, really appreciate your time tonight and for all the work you guys are doing to make the world more inclusive for everyone.
Thank you. Thank you so much to you for helping us spread the word. We can't thank you enough.
All right. I mean, just, you're welcome. That's all I can say. Hannah Stanley.
Thank you. Molly, you want to say hi? Say hi, Hannah. Hi.
Hi, Molly. Thank you so much for your time. And really, honestly, just thank you so much for your work and for your awesome family putting this together. It really is so great that you're making everything so good for so many others.
Thank you.
You bet. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Matt Bubala on WGN. More right after this. It has been my honor. I am Hannah Stanley to sit in for Matt Bubala tonight here on WGN Radio and get to work with Roger Badish and Ben, who is cranking it out tonight, keeping me on task and with the good music. I want to thank my guests also, Fred Weintraub, our the worldly fellow who joined me for an entire hour from Singapore, and then Jen Kramer and her hashtag Year of Love, and Carolyn Pinta, as you just heard her talking about the Pinta Pride Project. It is always thrilling to get to talk to you guys as well.